All right, Alexander, let's talk about two elections that have taken place. We have elections in Colombia, very important elections in Colombia, and then we had the parliamentary elections for the National Assembly in France, where the result was not too good for Macron. Which one do you want to tackle first, Colombia or France?
I think we'll talk about France because obviously, you know, it's in some ways the more pressing one. And France is, you know, playing a big role in international affairs at the moment. And Macron is, as we know, the man who believes himself to be the Napoleon of Europe. So let's talk about France. And what we've seen, it seems to me, is the vindication, the confirmation of our analysis of where French politics is going after the first round of the French presidential elections. If you remember, the point we made at the time of the first round of the French presidential elections, when the early results came through, the very interesting thing was that we saw the collapse of the establishment parties, the Republicans, the Socialists, all of those. And we had a situation where the right and the left, and I prefer to use simple expressions like right and left, not hard right and extreme left and these things. I mean, these are the classic, these are Le Pen and her party are the classical right parties in France. I mean, their policies are very similar to the policies of the French right of the 1950s, 1960s, 1970s. And the same is true of Mélenchon and his socialists and his left-wing bloc. It's very similar to the traditional policies of the left in France. So what we see is the left and the right in France re-emerging in the elections that took place, the first round of the presidential elections. In combination, they actually outvoted the centre. And that was a major change in French politics, because since the 1980s, this amorphous Eurocentre, Brussels-oriented, globalist-oriented, has dominated French politics and has pushed the traditional right and the traditional left to the margins. What's happening is it's now imploding, and we see the parties of the right and the left reasserting themselves. Now, what's happened in these French legislative elections is we've seen the centre again implode. Macron, most people still expected, we didn't, but they still expected that Macron would win a majority, his centrist bloc would win a majority in the French National Assembly. Well, he not only has failed to win a majority, he's done much worse than anybody expected. So his bloc is still the biggest, but we've seen Mélenchon's group grow and become the second biggest bloc in the French National Assembly. But importantly, and I think this has been the biggest shock, Le Pen's right-wing bloc has done far better again than anybody expected. It's gone from 9 or 10 seats to 90. It's clearly surging in France. So there's still a centrist bloc. Remember, the turnout in this election was very low. Some centrists have peeled off to the Republican Party, the old Conservative Party, which essentially is very similar to Macron. It's become very similar to Macronism in a way, but it, I think, is a sign of how disgusted even centrist voters are with Macron, that some of them have drifted to the Conservatives. But the big story in the French legislative elections is the growth of the right and the left, and the decline in France of the Eurocentre. And one wants to stress Eurocentre, because that is what this is all about. These people essentially are the globalist centre. They're the centre that believes in unswerving loyalty to the European Union, to the entire globalist project, whereas both the left and the right are far more hostile to the European Union, and of course they're both opposed to NATO, or say they are.
Yeah, So the reasons for Macron's loss, well, we can call it a loss. The reason he was he did so poorly has to do with the economy, which is a result of lockdowns, money printing, and of course the sanctions against Russia. Correct?
Oh, absolutely correct. But please remember that this is a malaise which has been growing in France for a while. I mean, events, the economy has deteriorated markedly over the last few months. The last quarter in France, the French economy actually contracted, something which only came out very recently. But the reality has been that there's been a sense of hollowing out in France, of deindustrialization, of the French economy going into basically a kind of decay. That's been there for a long time. I mean, that was what the Gilets Jaunes were to a great extent about. And this economic contraction has energized that opposition, which is already there and which was already growing. Now, what we have now is a National Assembly which looks almost unworkable. One of the great tragedies of France, one of the great problems of France, is that though the left and the right agree on so many things for the ideological reasons that I've talked about, which have historic origins, they're never able to work together. And the result is that we are going to see the centrist bloc still trying to run things. They will have the support of the Republican Party, the old Conservatives, over a long, you know, to achieve some of those things. But it's clear that Macron and the centre are losing ground, and they're not just losing ground, but they're losing ground rapidly, and that France is reverting to its historic model of a strong left and a strong right.
Okay, so a strong left. Let's talk about Colombia and the election of the who is considered to be a leftist leader, Gustavo Petro, who won the runoff election this Sunday with over 50% of the vote. He defeated what many consider to be the oligarch construction magnate Hernandez, a man of the, could you say, the elite right?
Yeah,
perhaps?
Absolutely. Yeah,
but this is a big result for Colombia and for Latin America and for the United States as well. This is going to complicate things for the U.S.
Absolutely. Now, can I just make a few observations here? I mean, I don't know very much about this new president. I mean, he was previously connected with the M19, insurgent movement. He's got an interesting history, let's put it like that. My sense of him is that he's more like Tsipras and Syriza than he is somebody who's really going to carry out any fundamental and real change in Colombia. But having said that, the very fact that he has been elected at all in Colombia is a big event. Now, Colombia, I should explain, is the single biggest country within the Andean bloc. I mean, Latin America, you can divide it into particular sort of regions. There's the Andes region, which includes Venezuela, Ecuador, Colombia, Chile, Peru, Bolivia, and which is Spanish, and Spanish-speaking, in contrast to, say, Brazil, which is Portuguese, but it's this big Spanish-speaking region in the mountains, in the Andes, and Colombia is the giant amongst them. It's by far the biggest in population terms. It's also been politically the most stable. It's been the one that's been the most reliable ally of the United States. There've been all kinds of things have happened in Peru and Venezuela and Bolivia at various times, but always that alliance with the United States has held things together in the Andes regions region for the US. And what's now happened is that you have a president in Colombia who looks like he might change that. Now, I don't know that he's going to make a huge amount of difference to what's going on in Colombia itself, but in terms of regional policies, he may make a very big difference. He might start to distance the Colombia from some of the policies the US has followed. So, you know, the regime change operation in Venezuela that was attempted with Guaido, that had its sort of base in Colombia. Colombia was used to put pressure on Ecuador at other times. With Colombia sort of switching sides, with it joining this sort of leftist or pink tide across Latin America, the ability of Washington to control things in the Andes region, which is, as I said, this most important part of South America, well, not the most important, but one of the important regions of South America, that has now diminished. And in fact, across the Andes, we see change. We see change in Chile. We see change in Bolivia. We see now change in Colombia, and Colombia is the most important of all.
Yeah, and when you look at the leaders, who are considered the leftist leaders who congratulated Petro on his victory, the list starts with Mexico, Argentina, Bolivia, Chile, Peru, Venezuela, Cuba, and Honduras. And, you know, even last week, you had statements coming from Obrador in Mexico, which were very defiant towards the United States. He opted out of the summit that was taking place in L.A., because that summit wasn't including Venezuela, and I believe it wasn't including Venezuela and Honduras, if I'm not mistaken.
And Nicaragua and Cuba. Yes, right.
Yeah, right. And so, and he also came out with some statements which were very much against what NATO is doing in Ukraine. And so I think we're seeing not only South America, but Central America start to, various countries in that region start to reassert themselves. And absolutely, you have some big ones, some big giants in Mexico and perhaps Colombia as well.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, you have Brazil, where you're going to enter an election where you might see Lula being the winner there. That would kind of fit with where the whole region is heading.
Absolutely, that's entirely correct. Now, bear in mind that for the US administration, for the Biden administration, this is potentially looking like a disaster. Because, of course, what Biden has been talking about, and when I say Biden, you know, we put that in inverted commas because we know that he's got various people who tell him what to do. But, you know, let's say the neoconservatives, the neoliberals in the administration, they've been trying to create this League of Democracies against the League of Autocracies, China and Russia. And they even had that summit meeting a couple of years, months ago, when they brought together all the League of Democracies, all the countries that they said were democracies. And then, they had that that American summit a short time ago. The idea, as we've discussed, is to create not a kind of substitute United Nations led by the United States, which will legitimize US policy against the Chinese and the Russians. Now, that cannot work without South America, without Latin American support, because most of the countries that, you know, the critical mass of so-called democracies can only become a critical mass if all the Latin American states join it. And now what's happening is that across the entire region, we see, as you absolutely rightly say, country after country, voters in these countries rebelling against the people that Washington supports and electing people who are in effect rejecting this policy, this whole League of Democracies versus League of Autocracies type rhetoric. So we see Mexico, we see Argentina, we see Chile, we see Bolivia, we see all sorts of places. And as you absolutely rightly say, Brazil is the big one. If Lula wins in Brazil, And bear in mind, Biden doesn't get on with Bolsonaro, who's the existing president. So things aren't easy with Brazil anyway. But if Lula wins, I think this whole, you know, League of Democracies thing has essentially crashed. So it's there's been this big pendulum swing to the left. You might be very skeptical about what they're going to do within their own countries. But in terms of the grand strategy, if you can call it that, that the neocons and the neoliberals have in Washington, this is turning out very badly indeed. It's not turning out at all the way that they expected, because without the Latin Americans, the whole League of Democracies idea is basically stillborn.
Correct. All right, we will leave it there. Go to theduran.locals.com. Join us on the Locals community. And also go to the Duran shop. Pick up some merch, 10% off everything on the store. Use the code GOODDAY. Take care.